Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
I'll... The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Tuesday, so this is This Week in Bachelor Nation.
Twixt weeks in Bachelor Nation.
Just never going to get used to it. I like This Week in Bachelor Nation to come at the end of the week so we can discuss all the happenings over the course of the week and what happened as a result of the episodes coming out that week, and I'm just never going to get used to the schedule of the main game airing on Thursday, and then we do our weekly wrap-up show on Tuesday? Doesn't make any sense to me, but here we are nonetheless.
It doesn't feel right.
I agree.
They'll go back to Monday for Bachelor, right?
I believe so, which is fast approaching. I know we're still, we're right in the middle of Golden Season. We're right in the middle of BIP 9. Love is Blind 5 has just concluded. We're just starting up F-Boy Season 3. We're right in the middle of World's Sassiest Soldiers. House of Villains just started up on E! I've been getting a lot of DMs about that. I might start covering that in Clues Corner. But all of that said, Bachelor Season 28 is going to be upon us before you know it. And I can't wait for it. But speaking of all these other shows popping off right now, you know what else is popping off? Our coverage of those shows in our Patreon. The pit is exploding right now with a tidal wave of content. So if you want to see Pace Case Palapas about Season 1 of Vanderpump, if you want to see Clues Corners about World's Sassiest Soldier, about F-Boy, about Love is Blind Season 5, it's all there for you right now. You want those digging deepers? You want those live shows? You want access to our Discord where you can fire off screams to us? It's all there. So check it out. It's patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us in the bottom of the pit.
It's more content than you can probably watch in a lifetime.
It's getting there. It's certainly more content than I feel like I can produce in a lifetime, and yet still I do it. That said, we also have some beautiful bucket hats right now available at gameofroses.co. These bucket hats are, of course, created in honor of Bachelorette Season 1 ring winner and poet laureate of Bachelor Nation, Ryan Sutter. He wore a beautiful bucket hat in that season as he delivered his poems to Trista, won her heart, and is now the father of multiple of her children.
And as we're in fall, as we're leaving summer, fall is the time where you should be wearing a bucket hat. You know, it's just a little shade. You don't need a whole big device on your head. Just a simple bucket hat will do.
I agree. I love bucket hats.
Buy it to fit on your head or over your headphones in a larger size.
Yes. Giant melon. Whatever you want. But let's jump into this. This is This Week in Bachelor Nation. We're going to start it off, as we start it off every week, with
Game of Roses. State of the game.
All right, Pace Case. I am extremely jealous of you because last week we were both invited to, graciously, I should say, invited to the F-Boy Island Season 3 premiere. And one of us was able to make it because the other one of us, me, was poisoned by Cafe Gratitude in Larchmont.
I am so sorry about what Cafe Gratitude did to you. I so desperately wish you were there. There were just, it was a little bit overwhelming. It was a little bit like Stefan Lovegrove's ball in terms of
God.
In terms of reality stars from every franchise. Mm-hmm. There was Bachelor, there was F-Boy, Damian was there. We had, from Bachelor, we had Samantha Jeffries, the mother of the poop baby. We had Aaron S., the father of the poop baby. I met Sierra from last Bachelor in Paradise. There was also Aaron B., Brandon Jones, Cassie Randolph, Genevieve Parisi.
Oh, wow.
It was such a loaded event, and it was so nice to see all the Bachelor people supporting Katie Thurston. It was at Sip Lounge in Little Tokyo.
Oh, that's cool.
Just a little tucked in the corner bar. They had special F-Boy Island signature Broba cocktails. F-Boy milk tea, nice guy passion fruit, mansplain mango, and slab time strawberry, which is a very small reference from F-Boy.
Did you happen to notice, was there Jose Cuervo alcohol kind of front and center? Was it being highlighted in any way?
Absolutely not. There was a full bar, but...
Interesting. Okay.
I would not say there was any specific liquor that was pushed other than, you know, the F-Boy pre-made cocktails. Because
In the show, the Jose Cuervo product placement is out of control. Anytime anyone is drinking anything, it is Jose Cuervo. You are seeing that logo multiple times on multiple bottles, cups, etc.
Well, I guess different sponsors for the party from the show.
Yeah, I guess so. It wasn't part of the Jose Cuervo deal, the party.
There was also so many people from Bachelor Nation coverage. You had Bachelor Data.
Wow.
Suzanne there. You had Dave Neal and his wife. You had Bachelorette. You had Zachary Reality. You had Jess Ambrose, aka the Bad Mom. And we had a great time.
Fuck. I wish I could have been there. This is making my blood boil.
It was also just like so many like of the F-Boy Island guys and their friends. So it was just like, if you were a single straight lass at this party, you had a whole platter if you had one specific type.
An F-Boy. If you were down to date an F-Boy, this is the place for you. Did you find yourself or anybody there that you were talking to trying to suss out who was an F-boy and who wasn't? Were you guys playing the game?
Yes, I was. Yeah. And I was talking to one guy and I was like, this guy's for sure an F-boy. And he was like, no, I'm a plus one of the F-boys or nice boys. Marco, I think.
Oh, yeah. Marco is the stand-up comedian from Los Angeles. He played a central role in episode 2.
Oh, perfect. I'm not there yet. But his friend, I found out, was on Ink Master, one of your favorite shows.
Yeah. I love Ink Master.
Ink Monstar.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Let me ask, what was the discussion like with the other people who were there that are part of the Bachelor coverage tier? Bachelor Data, Dave Neal, etc. What was everybody's kind of takes on this event? And was there any discussion of Started From the Bottom, Now We Hear?
What is Started From the Bottom, Now We Hear?
In terms of all of us in that coverage tier have kind of just like started podcasts, like in our homes, you know what I mean?
Yes.
For whoever would listen. Now you're getting invited to the premier event.
Because we're civilians.
Yeah, basically. Civilians, but now not, because you're getting invited to, these are official network programmed launch events for some of these big reality franchises. I mean, this is CW's, I believe, only reality franchise at this point. It has to be their anchor show for whatever their reality slate is.
Yeah, I would assume that you want all of that Bachelor coverage tier to be reporting on it, to be, you know, promoting the show. We watched the first and second episodes. It was so loud, and you know how I love to watch with subtitles on. So
yeah,
I had to go and watch in solitude by my own. At one point,
you were in a room by yourself with your laptop out, taking copious notes, rewinding. Shut up! I have to see if this is an official kiss or not.
I know. Shut the fuck up! And every time someone would make out with one of the three lady stars, all of the F boys and nice boys would be cheersing, like kind of like high school, you know, like, yeah, bro, nice. you got some screen time and some kisses. Oh, it was kind
of
cute.
That experience of watching the game with the players must have been mind blowing.
Oh, absolutely. I kept like looking at the screen, and then I would look at the people who were in it, and like his bros would all be like, yeah, you're doing an ITM. You're doing it. Like, it was very cute how they were all supporting each other. And then Nikki Glaser, who's like the host of the show, and Bill Dixon introduced it, who was a Bachelor producer.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It reminds me of the only thing that I've ever been to like this, really. Well, I've been to a few things roughly like this. A couple movie premieres and stuff for stuff I've written or whatever. That's been cool. But I remember going to the upfronts for Bad Judge, the show that we met on, the show that I created for NBC, whatever that would have been 10 years ago or something. There's a party every year in New York City called the upfronts. It's really like over the course of multiple days. Every network, every year, shows up to this thing. They rent out giant venues. The place for the year of Bad Judge was Javits Center for NBC. And I believe that year it was hosted by Seth Meyers. And so basically what these things are, they're giant events where the network, each network puts on one show, and the network invites all the prospective ad buyers to come to this event, and they trot all of their new shows out and all their celebrities out. And so they're hosted by their celebrities. The celebrities are in attendance at this thing.
It's odd that that exists.
It's existed for many years. It's basically to wine and dine ad buyers so that like the guy from Ford or Crest or whatever is going to fucking hemorrhage money into your network that season. Because you essentially are saying, look, we have this giant show coming out, or all these shows with all these celebrities. And oh, look, you're meeting one of the celebrities. Amazing. Then that person has a great time. You get them drunk. They get to hang with these famous people for a night. And then they go back and they're like, we need to fucking buy a shitload of ads on that network. And that's kind of how it's always worked. Now, in the modern era, when ad dollars are getting stretched thin and nobody's getting ratings, so it's harder to sell these things. I don't know what it's like. This was 10 years ago. But that was one of the craziest weekends of my life. It was just party after party after party, celebrities everywhere, everything free, at the highest end places in New York City. It was really incredible. And so now we cut to F-Boy Island. Not a major network. This is the CW we're talking about here. But still, pretty nice. They're rolling out a little bit of a red carpet for people. You are hobnobbing with at least the players and stuff.
Yeah, they had a standee to take pictures. They had people doing interviews on the green carpet. I then delved back into my mid-20s at the after party. We went to Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood, which I hadn't been to in like 10 years.
I used to live at that fucking place in my mid-20s. One of my best friends worked at the Pacific Design Center, which is like a stone's throw from there.
I did feel like there was ghost clues in the world.
How many times I've sang karaoke there, done trivia there, just been there drunk.
Vomited.
Never puked there.
I just feel like that's got to be a big, it's a, I don't know. Everyone at that bar just is out of their mind. I can't imagine.
Yeah. That's how it was then too. It was primarily like a frat guy kind of bar.
Yeah, frats.
But still that way. Still that vibe.
Yes. But, you know, F-Boy Island is a fratty.
Exactly.
Fratty show. And everybody went over there and they had F-Boy playing on all the TVs like it was a sport because it's kind of like a sports bar, which yeah. I loved. And I want to see more of that.
Yeah, that bar was where I watched the, whatever year that would have been, the Boston Red Sox came back from a 3-0 deficit in the playoffs against the Yankees. Do you remember this?
Oh, that was 1984.
No, it was early 2000s. It was this century. But at any rate, yeah, it's a huge sports bar. So that is interesting that they were playing this game on those TVs.
Mm-hmm. It was like the LA feed. Because we had watched the New York one.
What was your main highlight from the night?
I would say, honestly, it was like meeting up with all of the Bachelor coverage people. you know, a few of them had flown in and like, and that was nice. And I really, you know, we've wanted to have a meetup for some time. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a mini one. Obviously, I wish that you had been there and taking it all in. And, it was super fun. And, you know, seeing Katie doing her thing, you know, she's a veteran at the whole PR.
Absolutely. You can see it in the show too. She's a vet of all this stuff. I really wish I could have met Bachelor Data. If you're listening, Bachelor Data.
And she got to bring Tommy on F-Boy Island, which I love.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tommy was at Barney's Beanery. I would have shit my pants.
Oh, no. God. I got to meet that cat.
Tommy's getting drunk at Barney's Beanery. But no, I really wanted to meet Bachelor Data because I think we could have had an interesting computer brain to computer brain conversation about a wide variety of data points and subjects.
Oh, yes. Two like minds.
Yeah, I think so. But nonetheless, this sounds incredible. I thank you for going and representing Gore, even though I couldn't make it in my infirmed condition.
Yeah, it was very brave of me, and I'm proud of myself.
Me too. And hopefully more of this to come as all of us, not just Game of Roses, but all the people you mentioned, Jess, Ambrose, Bachelor Data, Dave, Neil,
Bachelorette,
as all of us continue to solidify our foothold in this world. Hopefully we'll all be able to meet up at many more events like this for premieres and stuff. I don't know, like, does Bachelor even throw an event like this? I don't think so.
They should.
I know. Like, every season they should have something like this.
And it was just like, it was just a fun energy, you know, because yeah. Everyone is like, they're professional partiers, basically. Oh, I met Benedict, who was a character on one of the earlier mm-hmm. seasons.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I said to Samantha Jeffries, by the way, I said, I don't want to know about the poop baby. No spoilers.
You're saying even now if she's delivered it?
So I don't know what happened.
I assume she has.
I don't want to know if she stayed in paradise or not.
Oh, didn't we see that in the last episode?
Well, now, yeah. It was before that happened.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
Before aired.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. I had to stay unspoiled. But yeah, hopefully ABC would throw something like this for The Bachelor. I know that they did obviously a great job promoting Golden Bachelor with all these little pop-ups in some major cities where they kind of like goldenized Mel's Diner that I went to out here, but they did a couple other mm-hmm. places around Los Angeles, and they did some in New York, I believe as well. Stuff like that, I think, is on the right track. And I think a big party event where you do invite the press to come out and meet with the people who are on that season of the show, maybe get some legacy players to show up as well. I think that would be such a great idea.
Yeah. Have them walk the carpet. It's fun. Get some professional group photos together, get some parasocial play mm-hmm. collaborations between all these people. Cross the reality shows.
Yeah, completely. But again, I thank you for going. That's the state of the game. Game of Roses moving on up in the world at the F-Boy Island Season 3 premiere at the Sip Lounge mm-hmm. in Little Tokyo here in Los Angeles. At least 50% of us were there. I wish it could have been 100. But let's move on now to that portion of our program where we talk about all the gains that our favorite players are making.
Season 4.
Well, I mean, will they do it for season 4?
Or F-Girl Island, if they do that.
Will they do it for F-Girl?
They better.
I agree. They better. Hopefully we'll still be on that list. But let's move on now to that portion of our program where we talk about all those.
This week in games.
Gary and his senior players picked up some numbers this week, increasing their ratings in the demo by almost 20% from last week, charting with a 0.57 and 4.27 million raw viewers. These numbers were in line with the second episode of the season and just barely behind the season premiere. Of course, these numbers were enough to absolutely dominate the Thursday night time slot, crushing Buddy Games on CBS, Law & Order SVU on NBC, and Hell's Kitchen on Fox. Notably, Golden Bachelor was the only show to hold the same numbers from its lead-in, which was this past week, President Joe Biden's address to the nation, which preempted Golden Bachelor across all markets.
A lot of crossover?
Might have been some crossover, but Golden Bachelor is at least as entertaining as Joe Biden delivering an address about $100 billion spending package on wars.
In the 9 p.m. time slot, BIP Season 9 moved up to second place in the demo with a 0.3 in the demo and 1.8 million viewers behind Big Brother on CBS with a 0.4 in the demo and 2.39 million viewers. Brayden Bauer's Death Swoop on San Crown Rachel Recchia edged out a new episode of Lego Masters on Fox, a new episode of Transplant on NBC, and a rerun of Whose Line Is It Anyways on the CW, which scored a 0.0 in the demo. You hate to see that.
You do hate to see the 0.0. But I mean, eventually all these numbers will be 0.0s. That's just the way it's going, even in the major broadcast networks. But it was nice here to see BIP moving up to that second place slot. Can they take number one away from Big Brother? I don't know. Time will tell. But let's move on to the Love is Blind Season 5 Instagram followings. This might be the last week we cover this because we're now a week out from the reunion episode that aired. And so none of these players are going to be getting any more official screen time unless we see some of them matriculate to Perfect Match Season 2, which I'm very highly anticipating. I think that's going to be fantastic.
They need to put that show out faster.
Well, you know, I think one of the problems with kinetic content is their production cycles. They're just like so haphazard and bizarre, and they shoot something 2 years ago and then it comes out and it's who knows. But they need to have, I believe, a locked in time of when Perfect Match is going to come on every year. Let us know that. Just like how The Bachelor comes on every January. We always know that that's when the kind of clock of that game resets. And we don't have that for the kinetic world yet. At any rate, I wanted to take a look at where these players kind of wound up because it's pretty interesting. So over the past week, Izzy Zapata is still in that first place spot. He's got 158K, and that's the top of the top here for this, what I would argue was a disaster of a season. He had 119K last week, and he's added to it to be at 158. Next in line, we've got his partner in the show, Stacey Snyder, who was at 111K, moved up to 144. Right behind her, we've got Lydia Arlene, who is at 87K and moved up to 142. Massive jump there. And then right behind her, we've got Taylor Rue.
That's that keeping the marriage lasting this long.
Absolutely. If you're in a successful couple, you will get big bumps. We've got right behind her Taylor Rue at 140K, who moved up from 93.8. Very similar gain to Lydia. And she was a self-elimination.
She crushed it in the reunion.
Oh, I completely agree. She put in a performance that was, it was just perfect in the reunion.
Yeah, it's worth watching just for that.
Absolutely agree. And just under her, we've got Milton Johnson, who is, of course, Lydia's husband now at 139K. He moved up from 90.6. And then we move down into the kind of dredges of this chart where we're looking at Uche Okoroha. He is at 66K, gaining about 6,000 over the course of the week. He, of course, did not appear in the reunion, and we will be covering that a little bit in the news. And then you have bringing up the rear of all the main characters this season, Jared Pierce, a.k.a. JP, a.k.a. Mr. American Flag. He topped out at 25.9K, up from 19.2K last week. So an interesting chart here. You've got a couple other players that, you know, made it into engagements, but then wound up not being in the show for various reasons, mainly because of a lawsuit filed by one of them for wrongful imprisonment and sexual assault.
And now for those crown games. Transition sentence. Mm-hmm. Gary Turner gained 5.3K Instagram followers for a total of 59.4K. And now for the top five Golden Bachelor Instagram gains. Michelle Young's collab partner, Leslie Fima, gained 2.5K for that astounding one-on-one she had this week. Now she's at a total of 7.7K in that top spot.
Poet Joan Vassos gained 2.4K for a total of 7.1K.
Teresa gained 2.1K for a total of 5.2K in third.
And in fourth place for gains, Susan Knowles gained 1.4K. She's now sitting at 2.8K.
Edith Aguirre gained an astounding 1.3K for a total of 5.1K for her swan song exit bump.
And moving on to the top five Golden Instagram chart overall, like Pace Case said, you've got Leslie Fima sitting pretty in that top spot, finally replacing Patty James with 7.7K.
I'm glad that we finally have a not night one player in first place. Patty James has dropped down to second. She has 7.4K.
Joan Vassos is in third with 7.1K.
Ugh, Joan Vassos, don't get me started. I will get started in the parasocial place. But Teresa Nist is in fourth place with 5.2K.
And Edith Aguirre is in the fifth place spot with 5.1K.
These numbers are not good.
No.
I mean,
I thought they would have been much higher, but, you know, we're seeing potentially the intersection of baby boomers and Instagram is maybe not a big one.
I do feel like I should note one. I'm not sure exactly where she is in the total chart, but Joan Vassos has 23.8K TikTok followers now.
Oh, wow. That ain't nothing.
And climbing. Yeah. And we'll get to why.
All right.
Our top five Bachelor in Paradise Instagram chart, we have Sand Crown Rachel Recchia in that top spot with 550K.
First, though, let's talk about the BIP Instagram gains, because we did have some interesting movement there. In the top spot for gains, we have underwater welder John Henry gaining an impressive 12.9K over the course of this last week, sitting now at 23.7K. Is that the biggest single week gain we've seen? It's got to be close.
From Paradise.
Yeah.
I mean, although look at this one. Second place, poop baby birther Sam Jeffries gained 6.5K for a total of 15.8K.
And then Jessica.
That's a good swan song exit bump.
That is. Jessica Gerard gained 5.4K. She is now at 105K. So she's crossed that threshold. Congratulations to Jessica.
Dangle Nation's Braden Bowers gained 5K for a total of 35.6K.
And Kylie Russell gained 4.9K, now sitting at 44.9K. Not hugely impressive numbers here. No big gains. Will we start to see bigger gains as people are getting engaged or people enter the round where they must fuck or flee? We don't know. But these do seem to be minuscule.
They're
gains.
Doing better than Golden.
Okay. Sure. I don't know if that's a metric you ever want to compare yourself to, but yeah. Nonetheless, we do have some players here on the overall chart still with big numbers, but these numbers have come from their prior seasons. As you're saying, Pace Case, Rachel Recchia is in first place overall with 550K.
Blake Moynes is in second with 429K.
Tyler Norris is in third with 117K.
Jessica Garrod is in fourth with 105K.
And Avon Jones is in fifth with 103K. So at least now the top five are all over 100K. That's something.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that is something.
That is something.
Now for that top five BIP TikTok chart, Rachel Recchia is in the top spot in TikTok as well with 137.6K.
And Jessica Gerard is knocking at the door of 100K on TikTok with 92.9K in second place.
P-E-P. Third place, 39.7K.
What is fucking PP doing on TikTok? I haven't looked at his TikTok. Is it good? Is it funny?
Pilot stuff, I think.
Makes sense. Because
he had a TikTok following before his night one showing. Tyler Norris is in fourth place with 21.5K.
And bringing up the rear is now the villain of Paradise Season 9, Kat Izzo, with 15.3K in fifth place.
Joan would be in fourth if she were on this.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I mean, these numbers are just, it feels like the days are gone when it was an automatic million across any of these platforms.
Oh, yeah.
If you made it deep in the game. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's, I feel like it's kind of a, maybe a combination of people have like lost interest. The pandemic is over. People aren't on their phones as much. And the way these players are being presented is not conducive to parasocial followings. They're not giving the viewers, at least in these most recent seasons, a lot to hang your hat on where it's like, oh, that person seems funny or interesting in whatever way. I will follow them on social media.
Right. I mean, not at all. We're still seeing it happen in Love is Blind, but the season of Love is Blind didn't do that well. But overall, you're more likely to be in the hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yeah. But you also are given in Love is Blind much more screen time if you make it into a couple than you will be given on any mm-hmm. Bachelor game. Even if you make it into the very end.
Even if you're the lead, you won't get that good screen time.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the SkinSafe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Exactly. But those are all the gains this week. Now it's time to move on to all those tids that must be reported.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News, it's official. The first and only Tropical Royale in the history of our beloved game can now be referred to as Mrs. Big Body Trash Can. That's right. Becca Cooper and Thomas Jacobs are married in the eyes of God and the United States government. In a joint Instagram post from last Friday, the BIP Season 7 All-Stars wrote, quote, 10/13/23, Mr. and Mrs. heart emoji, alongside photos of them holding their newborn son, Benson, and a marriage certificate.
Big Body and Kufrin got engaged over a year ago when the Tropical Royale flipped the script and proposed to Big Body in May of last year, sharing the news of the engagement on Instagram with a caption that read, "In the ultimate plot twist, ... he said yes. We've been keeping this secret just between us and close family and friends for a while, but we're so excited to shout it from the rooftops. I finally found my chauffeur for life and the one who makes my heart smile every single day. Can't wait to do it all with you, Tommy. Thanks for making me the happiest gal alive. I love you to the moon and back. Black heart emoji."
After a brutal year for Kufrin at the hands of Bachelor producers, canceling her returning role as the host of Bachelor Live on stage, and also unceremoniously removing her as the longstanding host of the only official Bachelor Nation podcast that yet remains, Bachelor Happy Hour, it's good to see Kufrin ending the year on a high note. Congrats to Kufrin and Big Body on their new legal status.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, more information is emerging on the bombshell news that recently rocked the nation last week about Brandon Jones and Serene Russell ending what seemed like a relationship ordained by the Paradise Gods to last until the end of time.
Last Thursday, Serene appeared on Caitlin Bristow's Off the Vine podcast, where she confirmed the rumors that Jones cheated on her before their breakup. Russell said that she found out about Jones' alleged infidelity via an Instagram direct message. After reading the incriminating DM, Russell said, quote, "After that, it was like, there's irreparable damage. There was just no coming back."
Fourth audience began speculating about Jones's possible infidelity earlier this year when a video circulated that seemed to show him with another woman. Russell went on to say that Jones has apologized to her, but the pair are not currently in contact.
Jones has since taken to his own Instagram stories to share his side of the story, writing, quote, "In light of recent events that have transpired over the last few days, I've needed to take a beat to reflect and process my emotions surrounding this delicate matter that is intimate and personal to me. Now that I've had a moment to digest, I want to clear the air and respond with my truth. To be transparent, before leaving for Texas, my partner and I made the difficult choice to go our separate ways. As this was a public relationship, we both decided to hold off on sharing the news until we mutually felt it was time, so we just shared with family and friends. Where I have taken fault and responsibility is a conversation we shared the day before I left, speaking on doing long distance. Unfortunately, during this time of private separation, coming back from Austin, a video came to light that, while harmless, made my ex-partner upset."
Russell and Jones were arguably the alpha couple of BIP Season 8, getting engaged in the season finale, serving as one of the only bright spots in a season of heavy producer manipulation. We wish them both luck as they move into the next phase of their post-Paradise engagement.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, some Love is Blind news. In the aftermath of Love is Blind Season 5, which has widely been regarded as one of the messiest seasons in the game's young lifespan, Uche Okoroha has been taking time to set the record straight, or at least to attempt to. Uche took to his Instagram stories to explain his absence from the Love is Blind Season 5 reunion show, writing, quote, "Unfortunately, I was unable to attend the reunion due to being out of town on a business trip. As an entrepreneur..." Just saying the phrase is insane to me. "As an entrepreneur, building my company is a big part of my life, and it's taken me 7 years to get where I am now. My time is finite, and there was an incredible opportunity that I could not risk missing to record a TV show."
Uche also attempted to address Milton Johnson's claims that he was, quote, "interestingly obsessed with my relationship with Lydia," quote, and had contacted him via text on his actual wedding day. Okoroha again explained via Instagram that Johnson's request to chat was a follow-up to a longer conversation he had with Johnson a couple days before the wedding. Uche went so far as to provide a screenshot which showed that he and Johnson were on a video call that lasted nearly 4 hours in late May 2022, just 3 days before Johnson's wedding.
While we still have no credible information about what happened with Uche and Lydia with regard to the motivations or methods for being cast on Love is Blind Season 5, at least we have these new receipts from Uche to shed perhaps a little more light on his relationship with Milton and really what has been a completely confusing love triangle where you don't know what's up from down, who to believe.
Mm-mm.
Certainly still in the allegations that Lydia followed Uche into the show, someone is lying. Be it Uche, Lydia, or the producers, someone is not telling the truth in that scenario, or at least the whole truth. And I don't think we're ever going to get it. I think this is it. This was our last chance.
We're never
and it's
know.
It's floating into the ether unless somebody can dig this out in an interview or something. But even that, I think, is unlikely because who the hell would come clean with it now? They've all gotten away with it.
Marshall Glaze, get on it. He's doing investigative reporting now.
Is he really?
Well, he's doing reporting.
Oh, nice.
Love is Blind.
Okay. Maybe.
We'll get to it. In Bachelor Nation baby news, season 26 villain player Shanae Anthony is pregnant. The Genevieve Parisi rivalrist.
Had to be done.
I like that term. Rivalrist. Yeah. Took to Instagram this week to post a 7-slide main grid carousel featuring several photos of her with her boyfriend and father of the baby, Nate Ebner, along with a cake gender reveal and the caption, "Cannot wait to become a girl mom." Bow emoji, bear emoji, pink heart emoji, baby Ebner arriving April 2024. Sparkle emoji, hashtag mom and dad. Congrats go out to Ankeny and Ebner.
And finally, in Bachelor Nation news, happy birthday goes out to Teddy Wright, who turned 27 last week, and happy birthday to Hunter Hagee, who celebrated her 31st birthday today as we record this on October 23rd.
Mm, happy birthday.
Always nice to see birthdays. Now it's time to move on from those tids to all those plays our favorite players are making off the field on their telephones. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
The ultimate Viking and two-time post-show allegations victim player Clayton Eckerd reenacted the rose ceremony from hell to promote his house being available for a short-term rental starting February 1st. He has since taken this Instagram reel and TikTok down, perhaps due to its bachelor structure, but it was a powerful play all the same.
I saw this and it did make me want to rent his house, by the way, although I did not.
It was a long video. I watched the whole thing. I was laughing.
Same. The Glaze Man is back in the parasocial news. Justin Glaze's cousin, Marshall Glaze of Love is Blind, recorded a TikTok summarizing his Love is Blind season 5 thoughts. Essentially, that it was a dumpster fire and that many players, but especially Aaliyah, were robbed of a real opportunity to find love. The caption reads, "Covered this in my first episode of, quote, Marshall's Room on TikTok Live last night." I like that. Very reminiscent of Clue's Corner, if you ask me. Season 5 needs a redo. Hashtag FYP. Hashtag Love is Blind. Got 173.6K views and 16.3K likes. Nice to see the Glazeman doing his glazing.
Room.
Yeah.
Look out, Clue's Corner. There's a room coming for your corner.
I mean, he should at least have alliteration, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. Marshall's.
Marshall's Minute.
Great.
And he breaks everything down from Love is Blind in a minute or less. Welcome to Marshall's Minute. This is Marshall Glaze. I'm going to give you everything you need to know about Love is Blind in 1 minute or less. Here we go. That's how you do it.
That sounded so good.
That's all you got to do.
Keyboard enthusiast Aaron B. made a TikTok this week making fun of his own ITM about Eliza being a charcuterie board. He flips between his ITM and different funny POVs of the four audiences watching it. The caption reads, "Her, words of affirmation is my love language. Me, say no more. Charcuterie board by at boards by blonde. Flame emoji. Hashtag Bachelor Nation. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. Hashtag charcuterie board. Hashtag fig jam." This got 77.4K views on Instagram.
The golden players were on fire this week. Alpha Limo exit Edith Aguirre entered the arena, finally posting her hair routine on Instagram Reels, in which she curls her hair with a straightening iron. The caption reads, quote, "The mansion routine, sparkle emoji, minus the aloe and rose water, dot, dot, dot. This was my go-to hairstyle while shooting in Malibu for the Golden Bachelor, sparkle emoji. 7.1K views." Nice.
Would they not let her bring in aloe and rose water?
Probably not.
Let her do her full routine.
Yeah. I'm curious if they, what did they withhold? What were they like? No, you can't fucking bring this shit in. I don't care what your routine is.
Taj can't pee, Taj can't poop, Edith can't. Aloe and rosewater.
Edith can't take her diabetes medication.
Mansion hairstylist and human sunshine player Susan Knowles made a parasocial play supporting her Askin teammate Kathy while wearing matching, quote, Team Susan t-shirt tots with her watch party. She and her friends all recreated Kathy's signature phrase and they yell, "Zip it," all at the same time.
Oh, they're so good. All these were strong plays. However, we know this. Every week, we know this. There can be only one winner. And this week, our parasocial play of the week goes to Joan Vasos. The sabbatical daughter PTC player is a parasocial gem. She won our parasocial play of the week a few weeks back for an adorable 4TR, this or that TikTok. And then the last 2 weeks, she's made cooking videos on TikTok. And these are not just any cooking videos. In the first chicken soup one, she narrates via voiceover her recipe with the caption, quote, "Best chicken noodle soup you'll ever have. Hashtag chicken noodle soup. Hashtag chicken noodle soup challenge. Hashtag fall dinner. Hashtag Martha Stewart. Hashtag FYP. Hashtag FY. Hashtag FYP. Smiley face ASCII thing. Hashtag grandmas of TikTok. Hashtag recipe. Hashtag dinner." Jesus Christ, this is like my mom's hashtags. This play.
They work.
This play got 222.6K likes, and get this, 2.8 million views. Last week, she taught the fourth audience how to make her famous chili with the caption, quote, "The best quick and delicious chili recipe, very meaty, hashtag chili, hashtag fall, hashtag recipe, hashtag fall dinner, hashtag family, hashtag comfort food, hashtag FYP, hashtag Golden Bachelor, hashtag love." This newest food offering garnered 13.9K likes and 436K views.
This week, our winning award goes to her quick 44-second Unpack from Bachelor Mansion with Me Rose Emoji video. In it, Vasos takes each garment out of her suitcase and pop transitions to herself wearing it and posing, all to the audio of the dance song from the Golden Bachelor premiere, Lil Boo Thang by Paul Russell. This got 39.9K likes and 796,000 views.
We estimated that one or two Golden players would pop off parasocially, and no one else in Golden is getting these kinds of numbers so far. We are so excited that Vasos' star is rising. Will it prompt her casting as the first ever Golden Bachelorette? Only time will tell. I'm very curious about who's going to be the Golden Bachelorette.
That's a good argument.
I agree. Congrats to Joan Vasos, and thank you, Joan Vasos, for these incredible parasocial plays.
Oh, I can't wait. I feel like there's so many to choose from. What are they going to do?
Maybe give them all their own season.
I'm going to cry that it's not the rest of them.
I also have to say, as much as it was making me laugh, I do appreciate Joan Vasos' hurricane of hashtags. Like I said, very reminiscent of my mom, who, by the way, my mom is now, speaking of Golden players and Instagram parasocial players, my mom is running the Necessary Conversation official social media. If you have not checked that out, I'm linking it every once in a while in my stories on Bachelor Clues.
I just posted it today. They're so funny. You have to wait till the end because the cut at the end is always my favorite part of the video. I love them. And I really feel like I'm starting to understand you more. I haven't listened to the whole podcast, but through the clips, I feel like you really get a sweet picture of where Baby Clues came from.
Interesting. That's interesting and terrifying. Jesus. All right. Well, thank you for all of that. We have to move on now to our beloved creatures. We had a bunch of great creature play this week. We had April Kirkwood making a TikTok video with her pups, helping her get over a broken heart. We had Jess Gerard putting together this incredible slideshow of herself with our creature of the week from BIP this week. The little French bulldog that was running around the beach, who I believe was named Coco. But this week's winner of the Parasocial Creature of the Week is arguably the best Knight 1 player of all time, Hannah Ann Sluss, and her fiancé, NFL sportsman Jake Funk, who sold their official engagement photos to People magazine. And guess what? Guess who's in the photos? Their dog, Dash. This high-profile SpawnCon play from a superstar of the professional era. It was too cute to be ignored. Congrats to Dash. Congrats to Sluice. The Sluice is loose, and Dash is too. Absolutely brilliant. Go check this out. It's on people.com. It's on Sluice's Instagram. It's on Funk's Instagram.
Another Funk slam dunk.
Speaking of Funk slam dunks, it's time for us to slam dunk ourselves into the bottom of the pit, where we will issue forth our nice screams about how our fandom of this game and all reality games at this point has taken over our lives and turned us into something perhaps more than human. This is
Screams from the Pit!
My scream, I think it won't surprise you, is from the F-Boy Island party.
Yep.
I was so excited to go to this event. You know, I've been an ardent fan of F-Boy Island just in my free time until recently. Was more of a hobby than a vocation. And it was so surreal attending this specific event and meeting all the players, meeting all the coverage of the nation. And I definitely felt like I was having an out-of-body experience at certain points.
Interesting.
I guess, like you're saying, the civilians who never thought they would be being in the world of these characters, and it just, it's all happened because we started a Bachelor podcast, and that is my scream.
Even beyond that, like, think about back when we started this show, Game of Roses, I mean. It was in the middle of Bachelorette season 15, The Beast, aka The Sand Beast, Hannah Brown, the winningest Instagram player of all time, at least from our beloved game. In that era, there was no F-Boy Island. There was no Love is Blind. There was no, none of this shit existed. It was really The Bachelor, and you had the other big reality shows. But in terms of like the dating format, Bachelor was it pretty much. There were some other things that would pop up here and there. You had Joe Millionaire and shit at one time or another, but it hadn't come back yet. You had, what was that divorce one where they put the divorce couples on an island together? Temptation Island. That was around here and there, you know. There were some little like offshoot things, but still Bachelor was the main one and the one that had been around for a long time. Now you cut to this thing. Not only are you at the premiere party, you're at the premiere party of a show that was created by an ex-Bachelor.
Parental Control.
Yeah, all the MTV ones. You have a show that's created by an ex-Bachelor producer who produced the season of Bachelorette that we first started working on. And now he's his own show that got canceled by HBO, picked up by the CW for a third fucking season, which now stars one of the Bachelorettes that we covered during the bubble seasons. It's just, it's like my head is spinning about the implications of what that event really means in terms of like our personal history with gore and with fandom in general, how we've chosen to cover this and where all of this has evolved to. It's like a crystallizing moment for me, I guess. And I'm, again, really sad that I wasn't able to make it, but very grateful that you were.
It is also just so different, you know, and I feel like I experienced this a lot when I worked at the talent agency, but meeting reality stars in real life, as opposed to watching them on TV. And like, for all of them, you have an idea of them based on their edit. And like, so many of them have that thing, you know, like that charisma, that sparkle, where you're like, oh, no wonder these people got cast. Like, I get it.
Totally. I've noticed that in coaching, you know, when you're having like hour-long coaching sessions on Zooms and stuff, you can tell almost within like 1 or 2 minutes if like, okay, this person is going to do well or not do well or can make it or can't. But it's, it really is like professional athletes to me. I don't know how else to put it. You can just tell like this person can play this game or this person cannot. At any rate, that's a great scream. And I'm glad that it is associated with something that was like such a fun event. And again, for me, like kind of a milestone for gore. that you were able to represent us there at such a function. My scream is perhaps less fun, shall I say.
Oh, God.
My scream involves a feature film called Killers of the Flower Moon. For those who may not know, it opened this weekend. It's Martin Scorsese's most recent movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio. It's about Native Americans having their oil rights taken by rich white men, set in whatever era. And it's supposed to be, you know, winning a lot of Academy Awards and all this kind of stuff. A lot of early Oscar buzz. So I bought tickets to go see this. And I'm sitting there, I'm eating dinner. And the person I'm going to see the movie with, we begin having a discussion about how long is this movie? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. And then I start thinking about Scorsese's last movie was this movie that came out on Netflix called The Irishman. And it was like 3+ hours. A Pacino, De Niro, like gangster movie. And I was like, let me just Google this real quick. I Google this shit. We have tickets to the movie. I have purchased them. The movie is 3 hours and 21 minutes. We both look at each other and we're like, you know, let's just go home and watch 90 Day. Cancel the fucking movie. And in my mind and out loud, I say,
let's go home and watch 6 hours of 90 Day.
I would prefer it. In my head, I say, there's no way, and out loud, I say, there's no way I will ever watch 3 hours of something at all, ever. Then immediately I realize, oh, wait, I do it every Thursday night with Bachelor. I literally, this thing that I was like protesting Scorsese for, like, fuck you, dude. How dare you make a 3-hour movie? I'm like, I do it every fucking Thursday. I do it every Thursday.
God.
But to me, it's such a different experience or something. I guess it's not as like abusive. I don't know.
That's wild to think about because it's not just 3 hours. We then go and recap it and we do a pre-live show for it. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know, a 7-hour process.
And when Love is Blind was on, I was watching Love is Blind also after that. At least one episode that Thursday night.
Oh my God. A 10-hour process.
At least. I mean, yeah, it starts at, it would start at what? We'd get together on Zoom at about 4 mm-hmm. to get our live show going. And then, yeah, I would be done at around 1 or 2 if I was going to do a Love is Blind also.
We savor your suffering.
Yeah. No, but I enjoy it. Like, I like watching the shows and stuff. And I just realized in that moment where it was like, fuck Scorsese, I'm never watching 3 hours of anything. Oh, no, though. I do all the time.
I mean, here's the thing. They need an intermission. I went and saw Oppenheimer, and I had to, like, I was worried the whole time. I was like, when am I going to go to the bathroom? And I chose a part where I was like, I think this part might be boring. I was probably right.
It's just like there's some kind of weird thing happening in movies right now where I feel like these auteur directors especially feel threatened by and almost antagonistic toward their audience about the fact that we can all watch this shit on our TVs. We can mm-hmm. all stream this. And they're like, no, yeah. The real experience is watching my movies in theaters as it was meant to be. And so they do this thing where they overcompensate by making a 3-hour fucking movie that nobody wants to sit through, even if it's a good movie. Nobody wants to sit through fucking 3 hours of a movie, but they feel like compelled to do that in some way to prove how their shit is better than a TV show or why it's more valuable to see it in a movie theater than it is on your TV or something. It's some weird thing that's been happening over the last, I don't know, maybe like 5 years or so. There was fucking Avatar 2 was over 3 hours. Dune was over 3 hours. Oppenheimer, 3 hours. Now this shit, 3 hours.
Wait, I don't understand that logic.
Yeah. Join the club.
How are those two connected? It's because they're like, well, if you're going, we want to give you a lot of content for your buck?
No, I think it's I'm an auteur and this is my art. Fuck you. I think it's that. I think it's like, don't watch my shit on your shitty fucking TV. Exactly. Fuck you. I think that's literally it. Because these movies don't need to be this long. They used to not be like this. Now all these motherfuckers who make auteur pieces, they're all 3 hours long, minimum. You can't even get away from it. And if they're not 3 hours, they're like 2 hours and 40-something minutes.
Are the best movie long? Is that why they're doing it? It's like... to be Oscar nominated?
I mean, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think that's the case, but I don't know. I mean, arguably, The Godfather, which is a Francis Ford Coppola movie, is usually in the talks for best movie of all time. Let's see how long that is. It was a long movie, I remember, but I don't think it was 3 hours, was it? Godfather's 2 hours and 55 minutes. So he did bring it in under three.
Yeah, it's not 3 hours.
Yeah, but let's look at like Citizen Kane runtime. Citizen Kane, 1 hour and 59 minutes. That is pretty universally lauded as like the greatest movie ever because it invented modern filmmaking. Orson Welles' movie from many years ago, definitely the last century. At any rate.
That one I can't bring myself to watch. I know I should.
Citizen Kane?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's a solid flick. Just to let you know.
I mean, how long is it?
It was in, I think it was hour 55 I just looked.
Is it black and, it's black and white, isn't it?
Yeah, it's black and white. Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's move on.
I'm sorry. This one was more crushing than the references I usually don't get.
As much as I complain about, you know, auteur filmmakers dragging their goddamn movies out way too long, I do love movies of all kinds. Always have, always will. It's why I went to film school. But come on, dudes. You could make these movies shorter.
Yeah, or put a bathroom break in it. Honestly, I'm okay if it's 3 hours. If there's like hour and a half in, you take 15 minutes off. Let me go to the bathroom. Let me re-up my popcorn.
And you can make more money, by the way. Look at Barbie. Barbie was a runtime of hour 54. Fucking crushed everything and was a good fucking movie. You could do it. It's real easy, real simple. You could do it. You don't need that extra hour. You just don't need it. Nobody needs it. Nobody wants it. All right, let's move on. We have one more scream.
Yeah, I think this is a good scream.
This is it. Scorsese listens to Gore. Yeah. Scorsese's in the pit. He turns in a director's cut that's actually shorter than the theatrical release. Yeah, okay.
Scorsese, we're talking to you.
As you know, if you are in the pit, you have access to our Discord. And in that Discord, you have access to submit your screams to us. And if you do so, sometimes we play a scream. Or every week we play a scream right here in Screams from the Pit. So this week, the scream comes to us from Jackie Langdon. It comes with a picture and with a little video. We're going to listen to the scream now, and I believe this picture and video will be made available on our social media, so be checking that out as well. Let's check out the scream. Here we go.
Hello, pit dwellers and associated creatures. Last night, I delved deeper into the pit than I knew was possible. I was in the middle of watching Golden Bachelor when I received a notification that Braden Bowers had gone live on Instagram. I paused the show without hesitation and jumped onto the platform to see what he was talking about. He was in the middle of saying that he wished that somebody would go live with him and was trying to get a hold of Christina Mandrell. While I am not a Mandrell myself, for shits and giggles, I thought, what if I requested to go live with him? And lo and behold, he accepted. Although I had no time to prepare what I was going to say in advance, as a student of the game, I was able to compliment his playstyle, and I then said, you must be a fan of Game of Roses. He told me he had heard of the podcast, but not until after his time in-game in Bachelorette Season 20. I then told him I was a huge fan of his playstyle and could not wait to see what he would turn out on sand in Bachelor in Paradise with the help of his lucky rubber duck earrings. Thank you for listening to my scream. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
What am I listening to?
This is an incredible scream. Thank you, Jackie, for submitting it. What we have here is a scream about going live with Braden Bowers on his Instagram Live, and Jackie has provided us with both photographic and video evidence of this event, which is astounding.
Wow. This is one of the best screams ever.
It's fantastic. I really am curious about how many people were in that live. All it brings memories back to me of going live in Lee Garrett's, going into that during the early days of the pandemic when those technologies were first being utilized. But I'm sure Braden Bowers had many more followers than that. And wow, what a moment to be tapped by Braden Bowers to go live with him and then to have the wherewithal to bring up Gore and ask him if he's in the pit. And to have a conversation about it. Absolutely beautiful. High level scream.
I don't know if I believe it. I still think you could have trained him, but.
No comment. But I will say, if you are diligent and you are receptive to the dark energies of the pit, things like this will happen to you. And by that, I mean, if you're compulsively and obsessively keeping track of who's going live on Instagram and you can snap into their Instagram lives, stuff like this can happen. So thank you again, Jackie, for this incredible scream. Good luck to everybody out there trying to do the Instagram live dark hunting like this. It can pay off every once in a while. But again, if you would like to submit your own scream, you just go to patreon.com/gamerroses, join us in the bottom of the pit, fire off that scream, and we'll put the best ones here. So thanks once again, and thanks everybody for joining us on this, what is today? Tuesday? Not Friday.
Tuesday, October 24th.
For this...
Twixt weeks in Bachelor Nations.
Twixt weeks in Bachelor's Nations. Until our recap coming out on this Friday. Until then, what is that drawback?
It's been 7,883 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.